The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hoopball podcast listeners, are you a fantasy expert and want to write or podcast for Hoopball? Do you have aspirations of covering a team? Are you a master of sales and want to earn some cash on the phones? Well, we've got good news. Hoopball's recruiting. If you think you have what it takes, hit us up at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or by emailing teamhoopball@hoop-ball.com. Again, that's at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or emailing teamhoopball@hoop-ball.com.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, everybody? I'm Najee Adams.
And I'm Hunter Jacobs.
And you're listening to the Hoopball Nets podcast. It's been quite a while. but we are officially back. It feels good to be behind the microphone yet again. Honestly, it seems like it wasn't meant for us to record. Life didn't want us to record. The amount of things that have gone on in our lives in between the last time you heard us and now. The biggest thing being, for me, I now have a full-time job, so that really threw a wrench into things. I work for CBS Sports, operations coordinator, work every single day, including the weekend sometimes, so balancing this and that and finding a schedule for everything was pretty difficult. Still don't have it completely under control, but you know, we're here now. For Hunter, he's been doing a lot as well. He's gotten back into his work because, you know, New York is starting to slowly open back up. So we've lost the amount of time that we used to have during quarantine. And so, yeah, that's really what happened with us. But we're back. We're going to I know we say this every time, but we're going to try and be consistent, try and get a legit schedule now that me and Hunter know where we're going to be and what we're going to be doing for the next however long with our jobs. So, yeah, welcome back to the Hoopball Nets podcast. Make sure you like, comment. Shit, what is this, a YouTube video? Make sure you subscribe to the Hoopball Nets podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, everywhere that you listen to your podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Please leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes because all reviews will get read on the podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoopball Nets. Shout out to whoever did the new rebrand for the Hoopball Nets and every Hoopball like logo on Twitter. Looks amazing. So if you guys haven't seen that, go check it out. You can follow us on Twitter, like I said, at Hoopball Nets. And yeah, shout out to Manscaped. If you don't know about Manscaped, you have to be living under a rock because they are literally the leaders when it comes to men's below the belt grooming. And you can go on their website. Spoiler alert, I actually bought, Hunter, this is not a lie, I didn't tell you, but I actually bought the Perfect Package 3.0, the Manscaped trimmer, like the package and everything. And it was supposed to get here this week, but UPS delivered it to the wrong place, so now I have to wait 3 weeks to get it. So I can't even give you my personal testimony, but I can tell you that the Perfect Package 3.0 is designed to make grooming below the waist easy. You can confidently trim below the waist with the Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof trimmer featuring advanced skin-safe technology. You can enjoy ceramic blades cutting coarse hair at 7,000 RPM. Get the Crop Preserver, anti-chafing ball deodorant, Crop Reviver. You even get like this free little carry-on bag called the Shed. And you can purchase the Perfect Package 3.0 from Manscaped.com. But it is $90 right now. It actually is already on sale because it's a value of like $160, but it's $90 right now. But if you use code HOOPBALL20, you can actually get 20% off and free shipping. So you can bring it from $90 down to like $75 or something like that. I'm not great at math, but it's a discount regardless.
You wanna hear something funny?
What?
I also bought it.
Did you really?
Yes.
Did you get it?
No, it's on the way.
This is a revelation. Neither one of us told the other that we bought it, but there you go. We both purchased the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, Perfect Package 3.0, using code HOOPBALL20. So if you want to be like us and everyone else, it has 4,615 reviews, so it's pretty good, I would say, and they're all 5 stars from what I'm looking at. So go ahead, purchase the Perfect Package 3.0, manscaped.com, HOOPBALL20, 20% off, and free shipping. Boom. So a lot has happened with the Nets. We got bounced from, like, we really haven't recorded since the Nets lost in the playoffs, which has been at least like a month and a half ago. But yes, we got swept. Didn't we get swept to the Raptors? We lost to the Raptors. And in 4, the Raptors then went on to lose to the Celtics in 7. And now the Celtics are facing the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. About that series, we're just going to go over it really quick. Not even really go over it, just give our thoughts. Like, we lost. We didn't think we were going to win. Like, I said Raptors in 5, but they didn't pull that one out. But, you know, the Raptors were supposed to beat us. They're the defending champions. We were without our top 5 players. So, I mean, yeah, our entire starting lineup basically was out other than Caris LeVert. So, congrats to the Raptors. We'll be back next year. Boom. But the most important news that has really come about since, and recently at least, is the Nets' new coach. It was kind of out of nowhere. Like, I thought they were going to...
I will say this is one of the first times ever that, like, his name didn't even come up at all until he got the job. Like, they did a great job of keeping it low key so they can decide without the influence of the media.
Yeah, they definitely did. And it was a... Like you said, it was a low-key signing. Nobody really expected it. Like, I'm sure people thought in the back of their minds, you know, they might sign a former player. People were thinking, like, Jason Kidd is going to be that player. But no, they went out.
They went and signed a similar point guard of his time, Steve Nash.
Steven Nash.
Is great friends with KD also.
And so let's get into it. I personally feel like, I said this on the last podcast, I feel like they did Jacques Vaughn dirty. He did literally everything he could possibly do. There was nothing more that he could have done with what he was given in the playoffs. I think he showed that he can be a good leader for this team, but I guess not enough for KD and Kyrie to really give him their stamp of approval.
I do believe he will get a job somewhere.
I mean, he's back to being the lead assistant coach.
I mean, yeah, I figured he wouldn't get another head coaching job, but I do think he deserves one, and I hope he gets that chance again.
That's got to be tough for him to, you know, be at the helm of a playoff team like the Nets and be wanting to lead them into that next era, which is probably going to be maybe the best era in franchise history. And to just end up getting your job ripped from under you, they probably asked him, like, he probably chose to stay on as an assistant coach and live and be able to reap some of the benefits if the Nets do win the chip next season, which I have been on the record saying I think they will. So, yeah, Steve Nash, the new Nets head coach. What do you think about the signing, Hunter?
I mean, it's tough to say whether or not it's the right call because he's literally never had any head coaching experience, but I mean, point guards are typically known to be better coaches. Example, Steve Kerr, Doc Rivers, Mark Jackson, Jason Kidd, like that. And Steve Nash does have a very high basketball IQ. I just hope that it's not one of the things where, because he's friends with KD, it's, oh, you want this to happen? Okay. Oh, you want this to happen? Okay. You got it. And I hope it's not a signing that he lets them push him over and it's whatever they want to do all the time. Because that's what happened with Ty Lue. And yes, he's still a renowned head coach and will get a job somewhere else. But that's a lot of the issues that people have with Tyronn Lue, that he just lets the players decide what they want to do. How many times did LeBron basically take the clipboard from him and decide what they were going to do?
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I feel like there needs to, like, it's a good signing, I feel like, because one, on name value alone, you're going to draw hype and like not hype, but just like interest in the team itself. But I feel like there needs to be some sort of structure and some sort of hierarchy where, you know, like Steve Nash and KD are good friends. And that relationship can very easily be damaged when you go from being peers and equals to now you have to listen to this person. This person is not your superior, but he's supposed to be leading you and taking charge and telling you what to do in some aspect of your job, which you're already very good at. So it's very different from when you guys are just friends and you guys are just joking around. And like Steve Nash was with the Warriors as like some sort of like player developmental coach back when KD was there. So, you know, in some way, shape or form, he's been in a coaching role and like coaching, had a coaching to player relationship with KD. But it's a whole different realm when you're now their head coach. When it comes to like X's and O's and a coaching mindset, drawing up offensive plays, we have nothing to draw from. Like, we've never seen Steve Nash drop an inbounds play. So we don't know what type of offense he's going to run, whether he's going to run a, like, run-and-gun, super high-paced type of offense, whether he wants to slow it down, whether he wants to run super small ball like the Rockets, because the Nets are capable of playing that type of basketball, but they're also capable of playing, like, a super big lineup with DeAndre Jordan, Jared Allen, Kevin Durant, Caris LeVert. Like, they're capable of doing stuff like that. Jana Musa, Rodions Kurucs, Joe Harris. Like, they're capable of going big or small and matching up and adapting to any style that's necessary. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of offense Steve Nash brings to the table. Defense as well. Like, we don't know what type of scheme Steve Nash runs. Like, usually when you sign head coaches, you can say, oh, you know, he's a defensive minded coach. Oh, he's an offensive minded coach. Like with Frank Vogel, you know, he's a defensive minded coach. Mike D'Antoni, you know, he's an offensive minded coach. But with Steve Nash, we really don't know what we're getting. We're just going off like pedigree alone. Like, yeah, he's going to be a future Hall of Famer.
I mean, if I had to guess, I would say he's more of the offensive minded coach, because he just saw the floor better on that side. But we don't know until we see.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the things I'm looking out for the most. Like, does he like rely on a lot of screens? Does he want his players to play more so isolation ball? Like, what type of offense is Steve Nash going to be running? And like in his press conference, like his introductory press conference, he was like asked, you know, what qualifies you for the job? And he was basically saying, like, I've been the head of a team on the floor. Like, I've thought, I've adapted to different types of situations. I'm able to think on the fly. I was the leader of a championship team. I managed, like he said, he managed personality, skill sets, like stuff like that. Is what you get from a player, especially one the caliber of Steve Nash, that you won't get from just someone that's never played the game and coached their entire life. But I just think the dynamic is going to be interesting to see, you know, was he just bought in because he's cool with KD and Kyrie? Or did Nets management and the Nets front office actually see something in him that will make him a championship caliber coach? And obviously, oh, my pen just fell. Obviously, you don't need to do much coaching maybe when you have KD and Kyrie, and that might have gone into the decision to hire Steve Nash. But regardless,
I think, honestly, in the back of their head, they could have got Steve Nash so that their current young players can be ready to take over upon the departure of Kyrie and KD. Yes, you have to think about now, but if there's not much they think goes into coaching, being that Kyrie and KD will be on the floor, then that could be their focus on maybe him turning LeVert into a star. and banking on that he'll be a player development master.
And that's what Steve Nash is probably signed for, to be a player's coach. Like, that's really probably the only thing we know about him, that he probably will be a player's coach. And, like, even at his press conference, he said that Kyrie is one of his favorite players of all time. Like, that's big credit. Like, that's big props to give someone that, one of your players. So, as you can tell, like, they obviously have a relationship that extends outside of basketball. And so it'll be interesting to see how that relationship morphs and turns into a coach and player relationship, while also obviously trying to keep their friendship intact. Now, when I think about, like, the type of offense he wants to run, he already said that Kevin Durant can play all five positions, and I plan to use him in all five positions. Now, for obviously, I agree. KD can both play and defend the 1-5. But fresh off of an injury, not fresh off, like, he's going to be 2 years removed almost, but the last time he was on the court, he got injured. He's probably not going to be 100%. He'll be 100% healthy, but he's not going to be in rhythm when he comes back. It's going to take him a while to get his feet under him. Is that something you want to do, putting your star player out against guys like Joel Embiid, out against guys like even Giannis? Like, Giannis is a physical player. Does KD want to take on that challenge already?
So personally, I think on a matchup-to-matchup basis, it's going to be challenging, but I don't think he's going to use him at the five when they're playing Joel Embiid. I think he's saying he's willing to use him at the five. Let's say, like, how the Celtics have been running out the lineup they've been running with Grant Williams in overtime. KD can guard him. They can play small, go offensively based, and use KD at the five there. Even against the Heat, Bam Adebayo is big, but he's not even taller than KD. He's just physical, and he's not an offensive powerhouse. He's more of a defensive powerhouse. So if they're playing like the Heat or the Celtics, they'll probably throw KD out there. Guarding point guards might be harder for him than guarding some centers.
The thing is, if you put him on a five, like, yes, it might be a, like, don't forget, KD was a defensive, all defensive team caliber player. Like, he's been good on defense the last time we saw him. He wasn't always like that, but he developed into a pretty good defensive player. Now, like, it might be a mismatch for him on defense, but on offense, he should be able to kill every single big man that's on him. And so you might.
I mean, it's going to be tough specifically. There's a couple that can probably stay with him, like Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo. But other than that, obviously, if he's matched up on a slow guy like Brook Lopez, of course.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, matchup to matchup, how Steve Nash decides to
roll. Do you think that KD's a good enough defender that he will be put on the best player on the court?
I think he's their best perimeter defender right now. Like, when you look at their starting lineup, if we're playing somebody like the Blazers, who's guarding Dame? Not Kyrie, probably not Karis, probably KD, to be honest. I would rather, because Kyrie's gonna, they're just gonna trade buckets. Like, Kyrie's not stopping anybody. But Kevin Durant could very well give Damian Lillard problems, especially since he likes to pull up from 50. Like, Kevin Durant's length and wingspan might deter him from doing that, because KD can close out way quicker than anyone else. So I don't know. I feel like it'll be a give and take basis when it comes to that sort of thing. But since we were talking about perimeter defenders, a trade was being speculated upon. When it comes to the Nets,
I'm not going to lie. This is my favorite trade idea that I've ever seen with the Nets, ever.
So it was reported that the Nets are interested in Drew Holiday. They've said that players and picks have been discussed, and they've heard that the Nets offer. I'm reading this based on what was reported by Brandon Robinson, a.k.a. Scoop B. So shout out to him. They said the Nets have offered Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, Jonathan Musa, and a protected future first. but nothing can be done before the bubble ends and the trade window opens. So everyone's kind of just sitting in this sort of weird limbo right now. Now, when we analyze the trade, I'm going to be honest, I'm pulling the trigger if I'm the Nets. I'm fine with that.
I don't know. I don't know if you've seen the Matt Barnes podcast with Stephen A. Jackson.
All the smoke.
That he does a lot. Yes. He gets players on it a lot. And I don't know if you've seen, he asks who the most underrated player in the NBA is. I'd say about 75% of the players that are on there say Jrue Holiday. Without coordinating it with each other. It's just known throughout the league that Jrue Holiday is not appreciated at all. He's very good on both sides of the floor. His efficiency can be down a little bit, and he's not like a sniper. But as a third scorer and the person who will lock up their guard, completely lock up their best guard, that's something very valuable to have next to Kyrie.
Yeah, and a lot, even KD himself said that he thinks Jrue Holiday is the best perimeter guard defender in the NBA, which very well might be true. Like, a casual NBA fans, I can tell you right now, know nothing about Jrue Holiday. They might know him just based on, like, oh, you know, he's a good offensive player, but you don't really, like, his defense. For you might think, if you're listening to this, because you're probably like a diehard NBA fan, that the best thing about Jrue Holiday is his defense. I'm telling you now, casual NBA fans have no clue that Jrue Holiday locks up. Like, no clue. He's never given respect on any of the All-NBA defensive teams, ever. Like, it's just a foregone conclusion that Jrue Holiday is going to be underrated. And so, I think that this deal is well worth it. The Nets would be rolling out a starting lineup of Kyrie, Jrue Holiday, Caris LeVert, KD, DeAndre Jordan, I'm guessing. Unless they bought Caris off the bench and started Joe Harris.
It's so tough because Caris is easily worthy of a starting lineup spot. But him at the three could honestly offset the defense that Jrue Holiday brings to the table.
And which is why I feel like it's a double-edged sword, because if you put him on the bench, you kind of make up for that playmaker that you're missing in Spencer Dinwiddie. And now you just replace him.
Yeah, but you see, personally, I don't see the purpose in starting either Harris or LeVert. If you bring both of them off the bench for firepower, I don't know why you wouldn't start Torian Prince, personally, and have KD at the three, where he belongs.
But is Torian Prince a four? I think he just played that out of necessity. Like,
Prince and KD at the wings between the three and four is a lot better than KD and Joe Harris defensively.
True. That's very true.
Joe Harris plays good defense. Don't get me wrong. He hustles, gets gritty. But when he's playing a big forward, it's not going to be good for him.
Well, all the talk surrounding the Nets is, you know, we need this third star. And for me, I feel like Caris is that already. But this trade, if you do move Caris LeVert to the bench, that would basically take away any possibility that he has of being that third star. And that third star would become Jrue Holiday. Now, do you think that Caris's ceiling is higher than the floor that you get with Jrue Holiday? Like, Jrue Holiday's probably reached his peak. Like, Jrue Holiday's probably not getting any better.
Yes, that I agree with.
So do you think Caris's ceiling is better than Jrue Holiday's floor? No.
No.
I kind of think it is.
Jrue Holiday, at this point, okay. So I'm going to compare him because this is the only player that comes to mind. Jrue Holiday is a better version of Marcus Smart. Okay. Now, if you look at Marcus Smart's numbers historically, they're not good. Someone in 25 years will look at that and say, like, why do people think this guy was good? His percentages were horrible. He couldn't really shoot threes. He didn't put up a lot of points or supporting stats. But every time he's in the game, it's a winning momentum. Jrue Holiday is the same way. yes, he's on the Pelicans, who were not a playoff team, but he's with a lot of young kids playing right now. If he has veterans around him that are superstars and focused on winning, he's a winner. You saw what he did to Damian Lillard, who's shown he's a winner. Drew Holiday can do things that I don't think Caris LeVert will ever be able to do.
I don't know if that's true.
His offensive ceiling is higher, easily. That's not even a question. But at this point, the team needs defense.
If let's say we did sign Drew Holiday, I'll get back to the ceiling question, but this just came to me on the fly. Don't you think that the Nets would resemble the championship team Warriors? Like, think about it. Like, Kyrie is Steph, Drew Holiday is Clay, KD is KD, Torian Prince is a child's poor man, Draymond Green, and DeAndre Jordan is Andrew Bogut, I guess. Like, who was their center? Who was their other center? Willie Cauley-Stein, if you want to say. Like, whoever their – I can't remember. They didn't have Andrew Bogut for both chips.
They had JaVale McGee.
Yes, there you go. There you go. I forgot about JaVale. DeAndre Jordan's JaVale McGee. Like, the resemblance between those two teams.
Yes, but do not disrespect Steph Curry.
Don't compare Steph to Kyrie. Oh, my God.
Do not disrespect Steph Curry like that.
Stop.
It's just, they're not comparable to me.
They are, because last time
I think you're better off comparing Torian Prince to Draymond Green than Steph to Kyrie.
You're not. You're trolling. You're trolling.
Steph is not comparable to Kyrie.
You're trolling. You're trolling. So you think the gap between Draymond Green and Torian Prince is bigger than the gap between Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving?
No.
All right. I was about to say, that's the end of the podcast. We'll talk to you guys another time, because there's no way. But just in team makeup, it's pretty similar. Then you have Joe Harris off the bench.
I don't think there's a Klay Thompson. I guess Drew Holiday is what you're saying.
Yes. He's not as good of a shooter, obviously, but you could argue he's a better defender.
It's close, yeah.
So, like, what you lack in shooting, you make up for in defense, and there we go. We have a Warriors team that was dang near unbeatable and would have won another chip had KD not gotten injured. But, yeah, back to what I was saying. I think that Caris LeVert's ceiling could be worth more starting him than the floor you get with Drew Holiday. And Caris
could. I don't think so.
I think his offensive ceiling is out of this world. And I think his defensive ceiling is very, very high. Like, he could be a very good two-way player. He has the intangibles. He has the physical makeup.
I don't think that Caris LeVert offensive gap between him and Drew Holiday will make up for the defensive gap that Drew Holiday would bring. I mean, I don't even know why we're talking about them two when we're swapping Holiday for Dinwiddie.
I know, but because if you bench Drew Holiday,
Caris. It's more saying is it better to bring LeVert off the bench or Dinwiddie off the bench? That's basically what the main thing is.
There you go.
I mean, now that you have everyone back, Dinwiddie's clutch was great, but I don't know that you're going to rely on it as much anymore.
You have two of the most clutch players in the NBA.
Personally, you know, I thought at the current moment that Dinwiddie's more valuable. I still will say that. LeVert's ceiling's higher by a lot. As he improves, that'll change. But as of today, I think Dinwiddie's more of the ready to win right now and bring them a chip player. So,
well, we both think the Nets would take the deal. Would the Pelicans?
I
really don't know. I feel like the future first might get them to do it. I feel like
because look at it this way. They will have two Jared Allens. They will have Dinwiddie to pick up Lonzo Ball's offensive slack.
And then Lonzo Ball is a very, very good defender.
And so is Dinwiddie. If they play them together, they can guard both guards.
And then you get Musa as a throw-in.
And Musa will be a bench player for them.
Yeah, obviously, because they have Zion, but it like,
and they have Ingram also. So I don't, and they're getting a pick, correct?
Yeah, protected future first.
I personally don't see why they wouldn't take it. You're not gonna win right now, and Jrue Holiday is turning 30, so it really only makes sense to take that deal because you're getting Dinwiddie, who is 26, and then you're going to get Jared Allen, who is 22. So then you'll have two centers that are exactly the same. One of them will work out. And Dinwiddie is going to average 20 on that team. It's just fact if he plays enough. And it helps replace the shooting they're going to lose because J.J. Redick is gone. So
Karis is only 1 year old, 1 year younger than Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yes,
that blows my mind. I don't know why I just realized that just now, but that is insane. I didn't think so. It's not that insane when you really think about it, but just for me to find out now, I'm a little bit mind blown.
I mean, he's had four NBA seasons.
Yeah, you're right.
After playing fully at Michigan.
But bottom line, we think that the Nets, it's a good trade for the Nets and the Pelicans. I very much so enjoy the trade. So we took it upon ourselves to think up two more trades that we think would be good for the Nets.
And we're not including Beal because neither of us want to give up both Dinwiddie and LeVert, and that's probably what it would take if we're being honest.
Same thing for Zach LaVine. Stuff like that, we're not going to talk about.
So we're targeting two, maybe like a couple notches below all-star level players. That
couple players a little, a couple years over the top. Couple players a couple years past their prime. So
no, not for me.
Wait, yes, yours is.
No, it's not.
Wait, yours is for BL.
Mine is a young man. I told on the
Bulls. Oh yes.
Well,
yes.
Now that you guys probably know who it is, let me start.
I'm sorry.
So. The Nets have desperately been looking for a stretch big for some time, right? And the Bulls are really not in the best place right now.
That's an understatement.
They could be willing to move Lauri Markkanen for the right price. And I believe the right price is Taurean Prince, Rodion Kurucs, and two first-round picks.
Taurean Prince, Kurucs, and two first-round picks for Lauri Markkanen.
Now, personally, I think Markkanen adds a dynamic to the Nets team that would put them way over the top offensively. He's not the best defender, but he won't be playing at that point in the game. They're going to sit him in defensive situations. But his offensive capability, and if they have to, they could use him as a five on offense. And Taurean Prince is expendable. We saw what he can do this year. Kurucs hasn't really gotten the opportunity, even with KD and Kyrie out for a lot of this year. So imagine with them playing, he's not going to get much minutes at all. And then the first round picks are really not important with the team they're going to have winning right now. Because it's going to be next year's first round pick.
And I like that deal. I just don't know if the Bulls would be willing to part ways with Markkanen. Because that kind of that resets them. Because right now,
but does it reset them? Because if you look at the roster that the Bulls have, Markkanen is important, but he's also replaceable.
They've got Kobe White, Wendell Carter, Lauri, and Zach LaVine, right?
And
Otto Porter. If you take Lauri out of that, and you Zach LaVine doesn't want to stay. So let's say you trade Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. Probably your two best players. That leaves you restarted. You're just rebuilding a rebuilt team. A failed rebuild. So I don't know if they would do it. Is the trade a good trade for the Nets? 100%. I would take that in a heartbeat.
And on top of that, the Bulls have the fourth pick in the draft.
They do indeed. They do indeed.
So if they move, they get the depth of Kurucs, who they can use, and Taurean Prince, who can start. They still have the fourth pick in the draft, which can be
a lot of different things. Do you think the Warriors would give the Bulls the first pick for Zach LaVine?
They have the second pick.
Do you think they'd give him the second pick for Zach LaVine?
Do you think the Bulls would take the second pick for Zach LaVine?
I think the Timberwolves have the first pick. My bad.
Will they evaluate LaMelo Ball versus Zach LaVine in a positive way?
I mean, for the Bulls, I think they would take it. I don't know if the Warriors would take it, because then you just have a lot of guards. Zach LaVine is D'Lo 2.0. Like, what? They both don't play defense. They both are great offensively. Where is he slotting in? And you still have Wiggins. So, unless they traded Wiggins with the pick. Either way, I don't know. I just came up with it and just threw it out there. But I don't think it would be that great for either team. But my trade, on the other hand, we're going to go down to the old Cleveland Steamer. And the Cleveland Cavaliers trade Spencer Dinwiddie, Taurean Prince, Jared Allen, and Lance Thomas. And a future first-round pick. So the Nets would trade Dinwiddie, Prince, Allen, Lance Thomas, and a future first for Kevin Love. Now, like I said, I know that the player I'm trading for is a couple years out of his prime. But Kevin Love is still a great offensive rebounder, wasting away on the Cavs. The Cavs probably wouldn't want much for him, because they know they're not doing anything with him. He has an insane contract, so they would want to get that off the books anyway. Get Kevin Love, make your starting lineup Kyrie, Karis, KD, Kevin Love, DeAndre Jordan. You have four players all capable of stretching the floor, and DeAndre Jordan as your rim protector. And Kevin Love, like I said, is a great rebounder alongside DeAndre Jordan. That is, I think, a great deal for the Nets.
Now, I ask you, do you think Kevin Love had anything to do with Kyrie wanting to leave?
I don't. I think Kyrie wanted to leave because of Braun. Do you not think that?
I mean, I think it was mainly LeBron, but I don't think he wants anyone on that team on his team.
I mean, they had Iman Shumpert.
Yeah, I guess. It's just that I think that Kevin Love is a realistic option for them. I just, between him and DeAndre Jordan, does that hurt the defense too much?
I think DeAndre Jordan is a good perimeter defender. I mean, interior defender. Perimeter defender. Imagine DeAndre Jordan out on the perimeter. I think he's a good rim protector. I know Kevin Love isn't, but Kevin Love's a great rebounder. So there, you what you lack in that. And the Nets, he's a true four. When's the last time the Nets had a true power forward? They always put Taurean Prince, Rodion's Kurucs, like people that should be playing the three. They put them at the four. Kevin Love is a true four, a pure four, sharp shooting, stretch big that they could use. And he's not just good at shooting. He's a great offensive threat alongside KD, Kyrie, and Karis. So I think that would be a great trade. I think both teams would take it because, like I said, the Cavs would want to unload the Kevin Love contract anyway. So there you go.
Yeah, it's just the thing with the Kevin Love deal is that gives the Nets little to no flexibility to re-sign Joe Harris. Are you willing to lose Joe Harris at the expense of getting Kevin Love?
Listen, man, at the end of the day, is Joe Harris that much better than Jamal Crawford?
My deal is it leaves them at the same exact financial state because Markin is making $5 million. So it's not – that won't change anything.
Joe Harris that much better than Jamal Crawford? I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I don't know, bro.
That is just ridiculous.
Listen, the Warriors got it done with Sean Livingston as their best bench player, bro. You think players aren't going to want to sign vet mints to come play for the Nets? Jamal Crawford already said he wants to stay with the team.
Okay, he can.
Okay.
But Joe Harris is a lot better.
Based on what? Jamal Crawford's a sharpshooter. Just like,
no, and it's gonna say,
Jamal Crawford is not a sharpshooter?
No, he's not a sharpshooter.
You're insane, bro.
He's a shooter.
Jamal Crawford is a
shooter.
Yes, he is, bro. Jamal Crawford is a better playmaker than Joe Harris.
He has never shot 40% from three in his career except for 2002.
He's had insane volume for a lot of the years. Take the volume away, he might get more efficient. He might also get better looks. Who knows?
He's never shot 45% from the field, except 2002.
Okay, that's because he was a chuck before. Like I said, volume skewed his numbers. But
Joe Harris shot 47% from three last year.
What did he shoot this year?
42.
Hey, that looks like regression to me.
42.
That looks like regression to me. All I'm saying,
with KD there, he'll go right back up to 47. Don't you worry.
All I'm saying is, I love Joe Harris. Don't make it seem like I don't.
No, 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 no. After what you just said, you know, Joe Harris, if you listen to this podcast, I'm sorry.
Joe Harris, if you listen to this podcast, come on the podcast and tell me why you're better than Jamal Crawford. How about? But
it should be a no-brainer then. But okay.
All I'm saying is, like I said, I like Joe Harris. I'm a Joe Harris fan. All reliable. But is Kevin Love worth the slight drop from Joe Harris to Jamal Crawford? I think he is. I think he is. And so I would pull the trigger on that trade. Obviously, it doesn't seem like you would, but I feel
I would definitely not if it's at the expense of losing Joe Harris, because then you're adding
Joe Harris. So you would rather keep Joe Harris than Kevin Love?
Essentially, yes, because
you're insane.
Look at what the Miami Heat team has right now, for example. Do you know how valuable Hero and Robinson are to them? And do you know why? Because they shoot, and they shoot it well, and they shoot it when it matters. Do you know what Joe Harris does for the Nets? Just that.
They are also, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero are also young players.
Beef Jerky Joe. What more do you want?
Okay, nice. But you're on Basketball Reference, clearly.
And, yes, sir.
And Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero are also valuable because they are younger players with much more potential. Joe Harris is at his offensive peak. He's not getting any better.
If you had to guess how old Duncan Robinson is, what would you say?
24.
He's 25.
26. I was so close.
Yeah, he's not as young as you think.
Do we consider Karras as young?
It's I don't.
Yes or no? Yes, you do. Come on.
No, I think he has room to grow. But
you consider Karras as a young player?
There's different styles of players. Robinson.
That's not what I asked you. I said, do you consider Karras LeVert a young player?
No.
Yes, you do. Oh my!
No,
you're lying. You definitely can.
I don't.
Yes, you do. You 100% do. And if you consider Karras LeVert a young player, you consider Duncan Robinson a young player.
Do you consider Bradley Beal a young player?
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. How old is Bradley Beal? How old is Bradley?
26.
Exactly. He's a young player, bro.
Come on. You're playing games right now. You don't consider Bradley Beal a young player.
Yes, I do. And the only reason that people don't is because he feels like he's been in the league for a long time and he just started getting like super, super duper popular now. But he's still 26. That's still young.
This conversation will get nowhere. So let's say, let's hope the Nets trade for Drew Holiday and move on.
Okay, and so the last thing we're going to talk about is the NBA playoffs. We're down to four teams. I don't think it would be fair to not mention the incredible choke artists that are the Los Angeles Clippers. Now,
All right, let's get through this quickly because Najee is going to talk for 30 minutes about how much he hates the Clippers and all their fans are the worst and they are asking for it and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, you're not wrong.
The Clippers look like they did not want to play. They had no heart at all, and Doc Rivers needs to lose his job. I'm sorry. He has blown multiple 3-1 leads. His teams show no motive to win. He essentially ruined Lob City in my eyes because they looked the same way that this Clippers looked, and it's him. It's something wrong with him. I don't know if anyone else sees it besides me. Doc Rivers does not get a motivating team to play on that court.
Doc Rivers has blown the most 3-1 leads of any coach ever, and he's blown a 3-1 lead in each of the past three decades.
It's that, like, you watch the Heat play, you watch the Celtics play, and there is so much heart, and that you watch the Raptors play. And it's so much heart on the floor when they're playing. And then I switch to a Clippers game. Jamal Murray's playing his life out. So is Nikola Jokic. The Clippers are jogging up and down the court, chucking threes, playing like they don't care at all. I really don't understand.
And so I'm not going to go on and on about the Clippers. You know how I feel about them. So we're left with four teams. Nuggets versus Lakers, Western Conference Finals. Heat versus Celtics, Eastern Conference Finals. Nuggets versus Lakers hasn't started yet. Heat are up on the Celtics 1-0. The next game is tonight. How do you see that series going, Hunter?
What series did you just say?
The Celtics and Heat.
Okay. I think that the series will go 7. I think the Heat might win game 2 and get out to a 2-0 lead, similar to how the Raptors came back. I think we're going to come back. I think Hayward's going to come back. When Hayward comes back, the Heat are going to have problems. There will be no Robert Williams. There will be no Grant Williams. There will be no Daniel Theis. It will be 5 people who can all shoot, 5 people who can all run, 5 people who can dunk, 5 people who can all defend. You're going to have problems unless Spoelstra prepares them for that lineup.
Wait, Gordon Hayward and defends? Since when?
You think he can't guard Tyler Harrell? Come on. Come on. Harrell makes good shots, but he's not saucing up Gordon Hayward. Come on.
So you say Celtics in 7.
I think the Celtics will win, yes, in 7. That's hard because Jimmy Butler, to me, is going to have a hard time losing a game 7.
I picked Lakers and Celtics to begin with, my entire bracket, to get to the finals. So I can't go back now. I'm also going to say Celtics in 7. In the Western Conference, Lakers, Nuggets, I think the Nuggets are going to come in super hungry, and I think the Lakers are going to win in 6. I think it's going to go Nuggets, Lakers, Nuggets, Lakers.
I said 6 also, and I do think the Nuggets take game 1.
The Lakers have lost every single game 1 that we've played in the playoffs. I think if we go up 3-1, we might as well pack our bags. So I think that it's going to go – I think it's going to go – 2-2 going into game 5, and then the Lakers win the next 2. And so, yeah, we get a Lakers-Celtics final.
I personally believe that the Nuggets win game 1. The Lakers think that they know how to answer, but they don't. And then the Nuggets win game 2. And then the Lakers finally pull one out and win game 3. And then the Nuggets win game 4 and go up 3-1. And then the Lakers win 3 straight games. And the Nuggets blow the lead that they won twice.
Now, if that happens, I'll give you $31 because that is a very bold prediction. Oh, no, I'll give you $13 because that is a very...
No, come on. Come on. Don't be stingy.
That is a very bold prediction. But if that happens, then you're a guru. That sets us up for a Lakers-Celtics final. I have Lakers in 6. You probably have Celtics in 7. And there we have the COVID season of the NBA. And with that, we're going to head out. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hoopball Nets podcast. It feels great to get back behind the mic. And we're going to have another episode coming soon. We hope you guys enjoyed. Make sure to subscribe to the Hoopball Nets podcast on Apple, iTunes, and everywhere you listen to podcasts, such as Stitcher, Spotify, everywhere. Follow us on Twitter at Hoopball Nets. You can follow us individually. Our Twitter handles are going to be in the description of the podcast, so make sure you head on over there. Go to manscaped.com. purchase the Lawnmower 3.0 or the Perfect Package 3.0. We'll let you know when we get ours and how we like it. But use code HOOPBALL20 for 20% off and free shipping. And we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll see you all next time.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.